Okay, good. All right. All right, so Ephesians 5:23, please. In your Bibles, Ephesians 5:23. Why it is essential for OPBC to assemble. That's the title of this message. And God has called the church not to hide her light, but to shine her light. That's what God has called his church to do. He did not call his church to hide anywhere and hide away, but to shine their light very brightly. And this church has one head, and it's Christ Jesus the Lord. And it must always be Christ Jesus the Lord. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Caesar or Christ? Christ. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So it is Christ who we are to be subservient to in everything. In everything. That's what it says, right? Who is the head of the church? That would depend on, for some, who you ask. If you ask a Bible-believing Baptist that understands the Word of God, then he would tell you Christ is the head of the church. Now, we are in very tumultuous times in America. Very. There is sickness of the body with the virus, and there's a virus of fear that is gripped and spread through God's people. A virus of fear is more deadly than COVID-19 ever could be. If a man will give in to fear, he surely will give in to anything. We've been told that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I've stated very plainly in the title of this message the point of it. It's first of all the answer for all of us, and it is the answer to all of our critics. I've stated very plainly in the title of this message that the answer for everyone involved in the situation is that Christ is the head of his church. That we believe, according to the scriptures, that it is essential that OPBC assemble during this time. The argument that there is a contagious disease that is around really has nothing to do with right or wrong. There are a number of diseases and viruses that will always be around. But we believe that it is essential that OPBC assemble. We believe that Old Paths Baptist Church ought to assemble. Now I'll explain to you why. I'll explain it to you. I'll teach it to you from my standpoint of what the Lord has showed me. And I hope and pray that you'll listen closely. Father, help us, Lord. We need you. I know this is what you called me to do. I know for such a time as this. And I pray you be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, the governor does not decide whether the church is essential. I want to say that to you again to make sure you understand. Point number one, the governor does not decide whether the church is essential. Does not. I don't even know if I need this, Mike. But it does not decide that. I say that a little bit, probably for the sake of the hearers here. I say that with as much respect as I possibly can to muster up, which is hard. But I will say that. He does not. What does 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13 say? Turn there, please. I'm going to preach this fast, I have a feeling. Submit yourselves there to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. What does that say there? Okay. Now let's stop right there, kids. This is where you put the cookies on the bottom shelf so all the kids can grab it. Here's where you understand this very plainly. For the Lord's sake. Just like it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as is what? Fit in the Lord. There is always a qualification to earthly authority. Always. There is always a qualification to that. There is never this unblinded loyalty to earthly authority, be it a pastor's authority, be it a governor's authority, be it a father's authority, be it a wife or a parent's authority, whatever the case may be. It is never absolute. The only absolute authority on this earth is right here. This is what we obey to the death. That's what we follow to the death. That's what we follow. Now it says here, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Does anyone think that meeting as a church and assembling for the saints of God assembled to glorify God, that is in any way lasciviousness? That is in any way maliciousness? That is in any way sinfulness to do that? So then there's the qualifier. See, God always puts that in there. So for people that are statists that have bowed down and licked the boots of federal government, of state government, and everybody else, that have kowtowed and said that we'll wait until the governor says it's safe for us to come out of our caves and our hiding places. Meanwhile, 80% of the Minnesota economy is already working out of there. Has anybody noticed that we've only had 2,200 cases of COVID and 80% of the economy is still working, that people are going to work every day? Has anybody figured out that you got bamboozled and smacked upside the head with the stupid stick and we just realize it all of a sudden? I know, I'm excited. I get it. I know, I can't help it. I ain't been this fired up in a long time. It's been a long time. And has anybody realized that we've been duped, that we've been told a lie, that we've been told that 80% of the economy can go out to work but the other 20 can't? And then we're like, wait a minute now, how come we don't have 80,000 cases of this? How come everybody's not dead? Oh, I know why. Just like they don't die with the flu like that. It's amazing. COVID-19 is taking care of a lot of diseases. Nobody gets heart disease anymore. Nobody gets cancer anymore. Nobody gets pneumonia anymore. Nobody gets the flu anymore. Everybody has COVID. If that's not a spell, friend, I don't know what is. Who hath bewitched you? Right? Now, we believe these verses to be true about government, but we know absolute obedience is given to one, and that's God. It says, for the Lord's sake. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. So you're not to submit to evil. If your husband tells you to be a whore, God says, don't do it. That's not fit in the Lord. Right? You see that call? You know, I really wish our friends that believe that the state is God, that they would remember that the Bible puts qualifications on obedience to leaders. They would not say to obey the president of China. They would tell you not, but they are hypocrites when they tell the church not to assemble and to obey the governor. They are absolute hypocrites and liars. They are not consistent with their theology. Absolutely not. The Bible always warns us over and over again about good versus evil. Good versus evil, as is fit in the Lord. It is not fit in the Lord for a wife to turn into a harlot for her husband. And neither is it the church's duty to turn trick to the governor and be a whore for the state. It is not God. And you say, you're really excited about this. You think? You think I'm a little bit excited about it? Because I woke up one day and said, wait a minute. Am I really going to wait for the government to turn the key and tell me I could be a pastor? To tell me I could do the work that God's called me to do? Am I really going to wait for that? Am I really going to let the governor decide that he holds the candlestick to the church? That he could shut the house of the doors of the house of the Lord? That he's allowed to do that? Am I really going to sit by and do that? Didn't I just fight that fight 10 years ago when I said I wouldn't take 501c3, when I told them to take their favors? I don't want their whorish favors. I don't want anything from them. I want to serve God. Let me take a breath. Okay. Now you will note my strong language, because God's churches are likened to brides, and the bride is forming, and we'll be that perfect bride one day in heaven. We will not whore ourselves out to the state, and we will not, by God's grace, turn to another ruler and let the state give us funds and payroll money and tell us when the church is allowed to be open or closed. You might as well say the church of the governor if we would follow such notions. You might as well write unfaithful whore on the door of this assembly. How's that? How's that for strong language? That's strong enough? Is that strong enough? True enough? You might as well write unfaithful whore, right? The church of the unfaithful whore on the door. If we would let our church be told that it was to obey another man other than the man Christ Jesus. For we are his body. What would you do if you went home and your wife started listening to another man? that she waited for his directions. She asked for his protection. She took money for her care from him. Why would you, wouldn't you be devastated? Wouldn't you be devastated and angry and become jealous? And so it is with the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We have one head. We are Christ's body. Jesus Christ told us and commanded us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said to baptize them. He said to disciple them and to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That's what he promised. And he told us, he gave us a commission. And he told us what to do. And you know what? There's a lot of people out there who say, well, they're not just doing this to churches. Yeah, but what you have to understand is the church is an institution. And the church is an institution that is separated from all other institutions. The church has always been unique in America. Hasn't it? Has it not? Has it always not stood outside of the beast system when it was right? It stood outside the beast system and it stood outside of it and said, no, we will not bow the knee. Has it not always done that? How hath a faithful wife become a harlot? Is it? I think not. Government authority is to be obeyed as long as it is for the Lord's sake and as it is fit in the Lord. A grand example of that was the Hebrew midwives, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, David Gibbs would probably come along to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, hey, wait a minute, King. Let's try to work a deal here. Let's try to make this palatable. Let's try to do that. So David Gibbs would come in, and the Christian Law Association, yeah, I said it, blast it out, put it everywhere you want to. The guy's a crook. Anyway, so he would come in and say, wait a minute, King, wait a minute, I think we can work a deal here. I think there's a way that we can make the state love the church and the church love the state. I think there's a way we can make this work. I think, why don't we just incorporate all the churches, make them all creatures of state, make them all subservient to their head, and give unto God what is, give unto Caesar what is God's, right? And place God's church underneath Caesar and give them authority over there. You'll give some goodies to them. We'll work this whole thing out to where it's all palatable. And then Trump can rule and reign over the whole thing as Constantine. Sound about right? Does to me. You're getting a whole lot of theological truths here, just kind of ground down into one here. How about Daniel? Now, Daniel, look, if you go into hiding when you pray, Daniel, it would work out well and nobody would be mad at you, Daniel. Nobody, well, he did. He went to his house. I mean, just, right. Daniel, you should just stop praying for 30 days. It'd be good. It'd be good if you'd do that, Daniel. It'll be safe. And the Hebrew midwives, you know, if you just kill those babies, right? Then we have Peter who was told to stop preaching in Jesus' name. Look, hey, after all, you can preach online. We'll grant you the authority to preach online. So then YouTube can cut my thread when they don't like what I say, right? And then that's my only resolve is to go to YouTube, and YouTube says, well, we don't like what you're doing. Boom, you're gone. Happened before. I've been cut off before. So we know that obedience to government, the governor does not say when the church is to be open and when it's to be closed. Christ does. Who is the head of the church? Christ is. Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Let me ask you a question. Is it good to assemble? Is it good in God's eyes? What God calls good, is it good? Is it good to obey the Lord Jesus Christ? So what if they legislate like John Bunyan when they told him, Look, John, let's make a deal. If you'll just, let me bring your blind daughter in, John, and let me put her before you. And you've been in jail for 12 years. John, let's put her before you. What will you do? How will your blind daughter survive, John? How will she eat, John? I mean, John, you should really just take the license from the government. You should just take the license to preach. You should derive your permission to exist from the government, from the governor. If you just do that, John, all will be well. You can say whatever you want to. didn't work, did it? Why? Because he wouldn't bend and he wouldn't bow. He wouldn't give in. Why? Because they were men of integrity. They were men that stood against the times. That's why. He's supposed to be the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he bears not the sword. Well, if I broke the law and I became a criminal, and like Peter said, if I were to be a murderer or a drunkard or a reviler, or if I would be an extortioner, or if I would be any of those things, then government should, right? Like they are, exactly. If I were to do what they do, I wouldn't get immunity. Anyway, that'll sink in a little while. But they get it for themselves, don't they? Okay, so look at it. If we were charged for that, let no man be charged, let no Christian man be charged for any of those things. But, and let it be true, that is. But the Bible says, wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. We do that. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. But none above God. What is the theme of that? Good, evil. Good, evil. Good, evil. That's the theme of it. That's the theme. You will see the theme that we are not to submit any area to Caesar that has not been given jurisdiction. Case in point, Matthew 22:20. Turn there. Jesus said, yeah, you should render honor and obedience. But he lists it here. Look what he says here. Matthew 22:20. And he saith unto them, Who is this image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render. There's that word render. Remember the word we just saw in Romans? By the way, that word renders 33 times in the Bible. I thought that was interesting. But you can think about that later. But it is. But think about this, okay? 33 times. Look what it says. Render unto Caesar. What does he say here? Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. This church is not Caesar's. This church does not belong to Caesar. This church belongs to God. This is God's church. It is not my church. It is not your church in that sense. It is God's church. Now we are all together, and it is our church in that sense. We are that body that is made up. But we are to render, therefore, unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So has God given Caesar jurisdiction over the church? Has God told us to place ourselves under the authority, the church that is, under the authority of Caesar, and let him give him the candlestick and say that Caesar holds the candlestick to the church? Was it not Jesus Christ that walked in the midst of the golden candlesticks? It is not him that said that I will come and take thy candlestick from thee if you lose your faithfulness. We'll get to that. What did they say unto Jesus when he said these things? When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. They didn't know what to say. So God had an authority structure that was laid down. We respect civil government. We respect their authority. I hate to break it to you, if you don't know, but orders are not law. That is not the law of the land. It is not the law of the land, is the Constitution. The law of the land recognizes the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights recognizes our liberties and that Congress shall make no law. And why doesn't it say the governor shall make no law? Because in the United States of America, governors are not given authority to make the law. That's why. Jesus outlines right here the jurisdiction of Caesar, and it is not over the church. It is as is fit in the Lord that we are to obey them. He says it. Caesar, render therefore unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God's what is God's. The church is not subject to the state as its head. In all matters of civil authority, we are to obey the law of the land, which, by the way, the law of the land is the Constitution, like we just talked about. All earthly authority, again, is not absolute. If you ever get that way, then this country is going to be China. And it'll be China quickly. If you get that way to where you believe that, listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. Who here feels like this is all uncomfortable? I don't. It's okay. I understand if you're uncomfortable. I get it. I feel the same way. I feel it's uncomfortable too. But you know what? There's one thing about my ministry that I know, that God called me not to be comfortable. And when you get a little too comfortable, God's going to mix it up a little bit. He's going to make you uncomfortable. But I like it to where everybody likes me. Well, that's never happened in my ministry. So I got over that a few years ago and figured out, you know what? Most people hate my guts. And they're going to hate you because you stand for God. Not this pretentious standing for God that doesn't offend anyone. That's never going to be the case for the Christian. And as this world waxes worse and worse, you better be prepared for it, friend. You either believe this book or you don't. Revelation chapter 1. Jesus said, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned, verse number 12, and I turned to see the voice of that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, walking, clothed with a garment, down to the foot, and girt about the paps with the golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now look at Revelation 2:1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, hast patience, and for thy name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. It is Christ that removes the candlestick. It is Christ that writes Ichabod on the door. It is Christ that says the glory hath departed. It is not for thee, O King, or rulers or governors to do so. Never should a governor or ruler seek to come against the church of the living God and tell it that it is its ruler. There is one shepherd, and it is the great shepherd. Another example of the king's authority not being absolute. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Uzziah was a good king. He was a king that the people loved. He was king for a very long time. Verse number 15 says, And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah. And I say the same thing to the governor and this government, It appertaineth not unto thee. It appertaineth not unto thee. It does not. It can never be stood for here. Otherwise, we're just a bunch of smoke and mirrors is all we are. God, You know what? I'll tell you something right now. If you and I decide that we're going to submit to every time the government or the governor says something like this or does this or anything like this or decides whether the church is open and we're not allowed to use our common sense in matters and things like that, then I'm going to tell you something right now. God will take that candlestick and God will take the power out of this church. God will take the fire out of this preacher. God will take the fire out of this house. And you know what? You might as well put Ichabod on the door no matter how much the government says it's okay to open, no matter how much it says. If I dance to that trumpet, if I dance to that music, I'm going to tell you something right now. I might as well quit. And I mean it with everything in me. If I'm not going to follow God, I ain't doing it. I'm telling you right now, I'm not doing it if I'm not willing to do it. If I'm not willing to stand and say no, if I'm not willing to do it, then you know what? I don't need to follow God. I don't need to pretend. I'm not going to play pretend. I don't do that well. Some of you may not understand. And I respect you for that, and I love you. And if you all want to go home and have me here by myself, I'm cool with that too. But I ain't shutting the doors of the house of the Lord. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I ain't the devil. I ain't doing it. I'll go meet in a field somewhere. I will stink it next week, drive down to Iowa somewhere in a field, and I'll meet there. I'm not kidding you. If you kick me out of here, I'm going somewhere else. My Baptist forefathers taught me that. They taught me that you can't meet there. Okay, we'll go somewhere else and meet. I'll drive over to South Dakota and meet in a field over there somewhere. Out on the side of the road somewhere. You ain't telling me I'm not going to meet. God will shut the doors. God will say when it's over. God will say what to do. And you know what? Here's another thing. I ain't saying none of us aren't going to get sick. But I got news for you, Jack. You ain't got nothing that's going to tell you you ain't going to get sick tomorrow. You ain't going to get sick 3 months from now. You ain't going to die. You know what? There's a good chance all of us ain't going to be here in 10 years. Right? I'm going to tell you something right now. If you live your life worrying about getting sick, you ain't going to live life. That's what I'm going to tell you. You will not live life. You will sit in a stinking bubble somewhere and be useless to God. Because you're going to worry about it to death. Do I know people die? Yes, I know 220,000 people die of the flu. I don't like it. I don't like when anybody dies. I don't like people die of a heart attack. I don't like when people die of anything. Right? What's that? Yes. Right. Right now. Right. It's because you're told to be afraid of this that you're afraid of it. You're being told every day to be afraid of it. You're being told that it's a death sentence if you get it. Is it for some? Yeah, just like the flu. So is a heart attack. Right? It's just a death sentence. Well, it's a death sentence if you get it. Well, no, it's not. It can be. And we don't want that to happen. But I'll tell you something right now. I thought when the governor sends his proclamation out, put his crown on his head. I'll get him a Burger King crown. Have it your way, King. Yeah. But when he does, and he gives you a proclamation, and he tells you that it's okay to come out, that it's okay to come out of your cave, then does it magically mean that none of us are going to get sick? Well, no, preacher. What you don't understand is this. You don't understand that they're trying to make the hospital beds ready and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Well, what I do understand, because I can read, I do understand that Mayo is $3 billion in the hole. They're laying off nurses. They're laying off doctors. Nobody can get a lump removed from their breast. Nobody can have a knee replacement. Nobody can have a hip surgery. Everybody's told to stay home. Everybody's told to, and nobody's allowed to go to the doctor anymore. There's people that have conditions right now that are staying home, that their health is deteriorating because the doctors are telling them you can't go to the doctor. You got to stay home because you're going to catch this invisible enemy and you're going to die. So just stay home and die from what you're going to die from. And I'm standing over here thinking, well, what else does the Antichrist have to do to come on the scene? I mean, everybody's already bamboozled by that. I mean, you got clinics closed. Okay, wait a second. So what you're telling me is You've closed hospitals and clinics that exist to help sick people, and you close them. You're stupid! You're stupid! Doesn't anybody else think that's dumb? Am I the only person that thinks that's the dumbest thing? Well, they might catch it. So we'll let everybody else die? I think I'd take my chances to get the flu if my heart's like... I don't want to get it. You're dying of a heart attack. And then now they're all begging. Northfield Hospital's like, well, you know, you can come in. You can. Well, you scared everybody half to death. Nobody wants to go in. You got armed guards at the door. Looks like a stinking FEMA station set up. Right? Does that make any sense? Am I the only one that thinks that's ridiculous? Felons are getting let out of prison, but you can't go to the doctor. Well, it's scary. I mean, you nuts? You're going to die out there. Do you see what I mean? Look at it. And what have we done? Okay, so there's 100 beds in Minnesota that are full of sick people right now with this. There is like 1,700 beds that are empty in Minnesota that are ready. The governor was talking about setting up the football stadium and having a hospital there. He ain't going to do that now. Why? Because you're going to look dumb. You're going to look dumb setting up a whole stadium for hospital beds that you don't even need. Am I saying that none of us couldn't get sick and it couldn't spread through here? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying just like meatpacking plants that get people sick and everybody gets sick. But they're essential. Does anybody not realize that? So 80% of Minnesota is working right now. 80% is working right now. Do you get that? Do you get the numbers? 80% is working right now. 20% are home sitting on timeout. Losing their businesses, destroying everything. Meanwhile, Menards has 300 cars in the parking lot. Mom and pop shops are going broke. Being destroyed, begging the federal government for money. Right? And they got rooms full of people. They got rooms. I mean, how many people do you think are in a fast food restaurant in the kitchen working? How many people are at Menards? How many people are at all the other restaurants? I mean, not restaurants, but all the other businesses. How many people are there at those places right now? They're everywhere. You know what people are doing? They're going to those stores. I think they're going out to go to the store because they can leave their house. Wow, people. Are you real? People. I haven't seen people. I do. I shake people's hands. And then I wash my hands. So whatever. Right? Whatever. We'll never shake hands again. Okay, Fauci, you little devil. Whatever you say, you little communist. Why don't you go back? Why don't you go troll under the bridge you came from? Go back under the bridge, troll. Get out of here. I know some of you don't like that. But you know what? I've been here for 13 years, and I've been doing this, and God called me to preach, and I'm his man, nobody else's. He tells me when to bark and when to shut up. That's the way it is. And you know what? I'll tell you one thing right now. He gave me some fire back over all this. I'm going to tell you that right now. I felt it just stirring. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. They thrust him out of the house. This is not something this is not some abstract book. You get that, right? Like, we don't this is not some abstract collegiate book that I'm preaching. These are the words of life. This is God's word, his authority, his power, his calling, his leading. By the way, this book is true and faithful. And in all things, Christ is to have the preeminence. Saul did the same thing. He transgressed. He made a sacrifice without Samuel. Being the king, he thought he could get away with it, right? He thought he could take the church. He thought he'd take the government and he could go inside the church and he could do what the church is supposed to do. Right? They all think they're God, don't they? They all get a God complex. Right? They all get a little God complex to them. They all think they're little gods. And they can tell people what to do all the time. Okay? All right, next. Ready? I don't know what point it is. But we'll figure, is it three? Keep a track? Thanks, Josh. One big point. One big blowout of my throat. That's what it is. But three. That's right. This is the real Baptist blowout. Number three, we are a church, not a corporation. We are not a 501c3. This church is not under the authority of the state. We are not a legal entity. We hold no real property in the church's name. The church, in a legal way, does not exist. It is a spiritual entity. So then we have not agreed to follow public policy. In fact, we pretty much hate it. We pretty much, public policy is to promote homosexuality, transgenderism, equal employment opportunities for churches that are trying to fight that. David Gibbs even warned a long time ago. He said, you know what? He said, when they come after us, they're going to come after us with public policy. And they're going to use the homosexuals. They're going to use the sodomites. They're going to use them to come after us. But don't worry about that. Just sign here. Right? So what do they do? They sign. Okay, class, we have to remember this. We have to go back in the Wayback Machine. And we have to remember what a corporation is. A 501c3 corporation is a what, by definition? A creature of the state. So, that means that they derive their authority to exist from? Okay. And they signed that paperwork that stated that. Voluntarily signed that paperwork. And placed themselves under another authority. They did that. Or inherited it, right, if they took over a church or whatever, they didn't know. All right? They voluntarily placed themselves under that authority. So, therefore, they derived their right to exist from the state. So, can the government tell 501c3 corporations to close their doors? Yes, because they exist for the sole benefit of... There you go. The people. That's what they, so if they exist for the sole benefit of the public. Old Paths Baptist Church does not exist for the sole benefit of the public. Old Paths Baptist Church exists for the glory of God. Right? Christ. We exist for Christ's sake. We only exist for Christ's sake. And if we as God's church cease to exist for Christ's sake, then what do? We invalidate what we exist for. We have not agreed to follow public policy. We are a spiritual entity, not a legal one. We have not signed for a tax ID number. We have not asked for tax exempt status. We are a New Testament church, and we are subject to Christ. We as individuals are liable for any crimes committed and such, but we are not committing a crime to assemble as a church. We have broken no laws. All across the country, churches are being attacked by governors and being denied the right to assemble. They are being denied that their God-given right by a number of despot little dictators that see fit to rule over God's churches and place themselves against the Lord's churches. Now, many of them have asked the government for favors because of the corporation. And creatures, and them being creatures of the state. They are now being told what to do. By God's grace, we declined that years ago, and I've never regretted that. I have seen churches fold around me that went to the state. I have seen them go to the state to get favors. I have seen them. You know what's bad with me? I've told you this story before. I'll tell it again. The pastor that was organizing us to send us out to start this church, the pastor sat down with me and another man that was starting a Spanish church, and he sat down with us and he said, okay. He said, congratulations. You're about to be the CEO of a corporation. And you know what happened? In my heart, God said, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. Like I said to you before, I'm either God's man or I'm Caesar's. Or I'm somebody else's. And that's the way that it was. And this is where the rubber meets the road to express that in times like these. Had I known that 10 years ago, when this went down, when God showed me this 10 years ago and said, you're going to do this. And I didn't want to do it. I'm telling you, I didn't want to do it. And then Ted Alexander called me up on the phone. He goes, brother, I got a free spot here for the Baptist History Tour. You should really go on it. I'm like, I don't know. I don't like going anywhere. I'm fine. I'll stay home. He's like, no, brother, I think you should really go. I got a free slot. I think you should go. Well, okay. I guess I'll go. And then I get there, and God set me up. I'm going to tell you what God set me up. I'm not kidding you. God set me up. Because I was already thinking about this, and I was like, I was in the middle of it, and I was stalling. I was stalling past, not stalling like Stalin, you know, but I was stalling. Sorry. I was stalling, pastor, the sending pastor. I was stalling him, not signing the paperwork. I didn't get a hold of the corporation. He's like, get a hold of CLA. We'll send the money. We'll get it going. And I just ignored him. I just kept ignoring it. And I didn't realize that God was in that so much. And then I went on that tour. And I'm going up and down those roads. And then Ted Alexander, that sneaky little devil, he threw me in the bus with a bunch of unregistered Baptists. I sat in a van with I was like, I don't want to go with those guys. They're nuts. And he goes, okay, Brother Cooley, you're riding with these guys today. Because then when we did the tours, we had vans. So all of us had vans that we went in, right? So we're doing the tour, right? We're on this tour, and he throws me with these bunch of unregistered Baptists. And they start pulling out their Glocks. Check this out, brother. Check this out. I'm like, brother, you got a permit for that? He goes, permit? Permit? Not state constitutions, but permit? That's what he yelled at me. I'm like, okay, brother. I'm looking around like he's crazy. God, who are these guys? I'm like, what is going on? So we're driving up and down the roads everywhere. We're going everywhere, and they're like, brother, don't be turning your church into a creature of the state. That's the first thing Ted asked me. He goes, you going to turn your church into a creature of the stinking state? I'm like, well, I don't know. I was like, I was really under conviction. I was kind of mad about it. I was mad at him because he cornered me like that. I was kind of ticked. But anyway, I got in the van with all them guys, and after them talking to me for a while, I was like, then I talked to another guy, and he goes, I would become an unincorporated association, and I would get the tax identification number. I said, oh, okay, brother. I'm just listening. And then I'm walking that trail. I'm walking that trail where, let's see, where is it? Let me see if I can find it. Here it is right here. I'm walking the trail of all these men. And I'm out in the middle of a cornfield somewhere, walking in manure. Brother Beller said it was Reformed theology. But I was walking in, that's what Brother Beller said. He's like, look, I'm walking in Reformed theology. That's the kind of men that I hung out with, okay? But anyway, so he's like, he takes me, and they're talking to me, and I'm walking where John Leland preached, where he preached his first message, where the site of the first church was, out in the middle of a field. And I'm going to the Leland Madison Memorial, and I'm going to all these places where the Bill of Rights, and I'm like, wait a minute. You're telling me that all I got to do, and I'm hanging my head, I'm like, oh man, I don't know about all this. And I'm like, wait, you're telling me all I got to do is not sign a piece of paper saying I'm going to be a creature of the state, and these men sat in prison? They were beaten. They were whipped. Their guns were taken and they were thrown out in Indian territory. So they were murdered or slaughtered by animals, wild beasts, and everything tore them up. Indians raided them and killed their children and scalped their wives right there because they had no weapons because they stole all their weapons from them. The standing order did. And Roger Williams, Obadiah Holmes, all this stuff is like flashing through my mind and my heart. And then I'm like, all I got to do is tell this sending pastor, no, I ain't doing it. Boy, you'd have thought I told Nebuchadnezzar I wasn't going to bow to the image when I told that man I wasn't going to do that. Oh, did he ever explode on me? I mean, it was big time explosion. Boom! Did it ever explode? He was upset. The visage of his countenance changed against me. And I felt the furnace heated up someone seven times hotter. And that's what happened. And it did happen. And it was seven times hotter. Because it was like, uh-oh. He goes, well, you don't want to be likened to IBT, do you? Who had Greg Dixon got arrested. And I said, well, you don't want to be a corporation likened to Planned Parenthood, do you? That went well. That went well. Not so much. That didn't go well. He didn't like that one. But I felt it was a heavenly touche. But that's what I felt. That's what I felt that was. It was like, gotcha, didn't I? You got to admit, that was a good one. Even though you're mad at me right now, that was really good. All right? Because you just became a 501c3 just like Planned Parenthood is. So, okay. Anyway. You just became a creature of the state just like Planned Parenthood. And then I had to come to that decision where it was like, okay, you going to do this or not? Well, I ain't doing it. So I told him, I ain't doing it. And then we decided, then we organized under the Declaration of Trust. We organized biblically to keep the church a spiritual entity. And you know why? For times like these. Because it's right to do, number one. But for times like these, where we could say, you know what? I didn't agree to that. I didn't sign your paperwork. I didn't ask you for permission to exist. I didn't ask you for permission to exist and to continue. I didn't ask you. God promises perpetuity to his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right? Does that mean that none of us will get sick tomorrow? No, it doesn't. But does it mean that when you go back to work and everybody goes back to work that you're all not going to get sick anyway? Does it matter that 70 to 80% of people already have the antibodies in them that's been tested in major coronavirus areas? Does that matter to anybody? No, those are just facts that are really important that people want to ignore. Because there's all this bamboozling and hypnotizing out there with all the facts that nobody wants to deal with it. If I was in New York City right now in the heart and center of it, would I advise us not to meet? Yeah, if people were dying all around me and everybody was sick, I certainly would do that. I certainly would do that. I would advise us not to. Do I advise people that are sick or compromised in their immunity and everything else to maybe stay home? Yes, I do advise that. I absolutely do advise that. But do I advise everyone, all of us else, just to stay home till we wait because there might be a possibility that we might get sick someday? No, I think that's stupid. Because I think every day of your life you might get sick. I think every day you wake up in your life, there could be a point in time in your life where you could die. Isn't that right? Remember that? We do know that, don't we? We do know that's possible. Some of you have faced that, right? You faced that, and God delivered you from that. And if it is our time, it is our time. And I'm not trying to be careless, and I'm not trying to be foolish, and I'm not trying to be any of those things. But I will tell you this, that we either trust God or we don't. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to go out and lick a bunch of toilet seats with viruses on it and be stupid. What I'm telling you is that, sorry, there was some girl that did that on an airplane. I just thought of that. I don't lick toilet seats ever, but I just thought I better clarify that. But I know some of you, I'm sorry, I watched too many articles. I'm sorry. Gotta quit doing that, but anyway. I don't do that, I promise. But anyway, I'm not going to do that, but you know what I am going to do is I'm going to trust the Lord. Let me tell you something. God's favor has meant more to me than the government's favor. I'm telling you what. I can stand here and tell you from 13 years of preaching this book that he has never failed me once. that He has never let me down once. That He has never let me. I had so many people tell me that church not, you know, that church isn't going to make it. Your church is going to be closed up. You got to do things this way. You got to take this way. You got to be a corporation. I mean, you're going to get sued. You're going to have liabilities. You're going to have all this stuff. And I can't. I had the pastor, my sending church, tell me I could never recommend somebody to your church because you're not a 501c3. But that same hypocrite recommended people to go to Jack Scott School after he wrote a book about the Lord's Supper being intercourse with God. Now let's really tell the truth about that. See, that's what happened. But you know what? I'll tell you what happened. A year before I was supposed to be sent out, I told you the story about the building and the plans and all that stuff. They were going to sign a note. They were going to hold the note for $400,000 to build a building for us. And all that stuff was going to be there. And after that happened, I wondered, God, why'd you let that happen? Why did it all fall apart? I mean, there was a building downtown we were going to buy. That fell apart. There was something they were going to build out there. That fell apart. Everything fell apart. There was, you know, that place that's a daycare center out there in Highway 3 by the school? We were going to buy that, and that fell apart. It didn't fall apart. God broke it apart. God said, I'm going to break this yoke off of your back, off your neck. You ain't having no yokes on you, boy. None except mine. And here's what happened. None of it happened. And I thought, wonder why none of it happened. And I found out, this is why. Every single one of those people were enchained and enslaved to the ideas, the leadership, and the philosophies of that sending church. And if I'd have done that, if I'd have given into that, then I would be too. And I couldn't be God's man. I'd have to be their man. And if I wasn't their man, then they would control the church, kick us out, and keep the building. And that's what they would do. And God said, you know what, I'm not going to let you do any of that. I'm not going to put you into subservience to that. If you'll follow me, if you'll obey my voice, if you'll listen to me, I'll take care of you. I'll meet your needs. I'll supply all your need. And He did just that. And I'm telling you, by God's grace, I've watched them all fall like a bunch of dominoes in a row. And I've watched it happen. And I've seen God make me able to stand, and this church able to stand, that does not make sense anywhere on the planet. It does not make sense that a church like this would exist right in the face of liberal Northfield, Minnesota. A bunch of God-hating people. A bunch of institutions that are designed here that hate God and everything He stands for. But God put us right here. He didn't go put us in a corner somewhere. You think it's an accident? That's what I thought about it. I was like, you know, God gave us this building. He gave us this meeting house. He told us to come, and He gave it to us. And you know what? Why wouldn't I use it? Am I going to despise what God's done for me? Now, if I get forced out of it, that's on the state. God will deal with them. Right? God will deal with them, but it'll be because of them, not us. We'll live peaceably with all men. We'll do what we need to do, but we'll stand for what's right. We'll stand for what's right. That's what we'll do. And I want God's favor before I want anybody else's. If we cower to the state and obey their mandates and let them open and shut the house of the Lord, or minimize how it functions, or limit liberty, put a limit on Congress shall make no law, you know, establishing a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. They don't have a right to limit it. To limit it is to prohibit it. That they're breaking the law. Now, who's breaking the law? They are. Who are the lawbreakers? The governor. The governor signed an executive order. Now, he didn't list churches in there because he's too smart for that. Because he knows full well if he lists churches in there, well, at least the ones that still believe the Bible will not follow it. And he knows he has a constitutional crisis that he sets up. And he's already set one up. Because I'm telling you, I fully intend to go through the state level, to go to the federal level, and all the way up to stand on the steps of the Supreme Court and say, hi, Judge. I intend to do that completely if I have to. Because if we don't do that, it'll be something else later. This sets a precedent, and if there is no protest to this, if there is no resistance to tyranny, then you might as well pack it in. If the church gives up its right to assemble, if it gives up its right to assemble, then you know what happens? What do we exist for? I mean, We've already said that we don't believe God. Again, I'm not saying if there was some terrible outbreak around here and something and death that we would be, wouldn't be wise. But that's not here, and they all know it. They know it. And I'm sorry. This may upset you. And if it does, oh well. But here's the thing. I'm sick of the signs out. Okay, I drive down, I turn the block, and I see some, now wash your hands and cover your face when you're around people and do all this. It's like, okay, mommy. But, I mean, and I'm watching the sheriff's video and the chief's video and all these people and their videos about, they're all, now, you know, we got to obey this order. We want to educate people, not arrest people. And we don't want to cite people. We want to educate them. Well, I'd like to educate you when you come. I'd like to educate you on what the law says. Respectfully, I'd like to tell you that an order is not a law, and we should go back to government 101. Because we don't, or we're not supposed to, have dictators in America. We have law in America. You know, there was something that happened a couple hundred years ago or more. We overthrew a king for a reason. We actually did that so we wouldn't have kings, right? Jesus, like our brother, our Baptist forefather says, we have no king but Jesus. He's our king. So he's the one that has the divine right to rule over us. And I didn't make this, we didn't sign away the rights of this church in that sense. We didn't make them a creature of the state. We didn't say that we'd be subservient to the state. Be good civil servants and obey the second table of the law? Absolutely. What is the second table of law? Glad you asked. It's found in Romans chapter 13, right? And it deals with what? How you deal with your fellow brethren. And some might say, well, I think it's dangerous for you to meet. Well, that's okay. You're allowed to have a thought. It's not a crime yet. Hang on, it will be soon. But it's not a crime if you have a thought. And my advice to you, well, but, you know, I'm scared of getting that. Well, then I suggest you stay home. And then you, guess what? You won't get it. That's you. You won't get it because you stay home, but you'll get it anyway. If God wants you to have it, you'll get it, right? You can stay home and barricade yourself and not be around anybody and still get it. All right, and I don't want anybody to get sick. I'm not bragging. I'm not up here saying I'm going to drink poison and I'm going to play with snakes. I'm not doing that. This is not that. When you see the numbers in Minnesota, this is not that. This is far from that. If I was, like I said, if I was in Ground Zero, New York, and I was down there right in the heart of it, I would be like, all right, guys, we're going to be online for a while. By choice, not by decree. Do you understand that? Let me say that again. The church exists at the decree of Jesus Christ, not the state. All right. How long have we been going, Luke? An hour and 2 minutes. I think I'm going to save this last half for the next message in the afternoon, because I got a bunch to talk to you about here. Actually, this is pretty long. I prepared well to have more, so. I wanted to be prepared. Right, it just kept coming, and there's more. Look, but wait, there's more. And we could, you know what, I'll deal with separation of church and state, but let me finish up a little bit here. Let me do a little bit more here. It's essential for Old Paths Baptist Church to assemble because God commanded it to. Jesus rose on that first day of the week, Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Right? The first day of the week. The first day of the week. We see it over and over in the scriptures. Acts 27. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And you think, I'd preach long. That guy kept preaching until midnight. Some of you better be thanking God we get through before that. Somebody fell out of the window and died. That had to be an interesting service. Right? I should preach a message sometime. Interesting sermons in Acts. When, you know, that one with Paul and the guy falling out of the window, the kid falling down off the balcony, dead. Right? Don't sleep in church. Right? But the second service would be interesting when Peter's standing up there and all of a sudden he brings Ananias and Sapphira up and they both drop dead within an hour of themselves or whatever. And those were some interesting church services, weren't they? Those are church services you wouldn't want to miss. I'm telling you what, right now, you'd be there every week. What's going to happen now? All right, you're a pallbearer. That's what's happening. Get burying. Right? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. That's on the first day of the week. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. It's always been a problem. And we don't have that problem here. We have a problem people staying home if they're barfing. You get everybody sick. Right? Anyway, we'll talk about that some other time. But anyway. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, as a pastor, if I'm not sick, I'm going to assemble. I'm going to be here. Paul said we shouldn't forsake it. Now, could not is another issue. If you're sick, then you shouldn't. You should stay home and rest and get better, right? That's important. That's important anytime, whether it's this or it's a flu or if it's anything. Out of respect and love for one another, we don't get each other sick. We stay home. Amen? Or if our kids are like that, we stay home. You know, we don't get them. I mean, we don't get our parent kids that are sick. We don't want to get people sick because it could kill an older person if somebody's sick like that. You know what I mean? You don't never know with us. So it's respect and love. Okay? Remember that. That's what we try to do. That's showing charity as well. Even though our urge and our love and our heart is to be here, it's still being charitable to stay home if our children are ill, or for them to stay home, or whatever, mom to stay home with them, and dad to come, or whatever the case may be. But anyway, that's showing respect and love for one another. Even though you want to be there, your desire is, your charity towards others, you know, puts you in a mindset to be careful. Amen? That's important. I think that is. It's a good time to mention that. If government believes, though, that they have the right to forbid churches to worship God or come together as an assembly, then we must fight for that. For God is the one that commands the church to be that called out assembly. We cease to, I mean, we're not an assembly, we don't assemble them. What? I don't believe in, look, I have to practice what I preach. I don't believe in the universal invisible church. I don't believe in the hippie church where we're all the church. You know, it reminds me of that tune, that Yellow Submarine. It kind of, anyway, it's like a hippie tune. I mean, that's what, right? That's what it reminds you. We're all the church. No, you're not. There were churches that were written to in the New Testament. There were epistles written to churches. You're not some invisible universal church. And if we try to operate as a universal invisible church because the government tells us to, then we don't believe our doctrine. Again, I understand if it was that way, but it's not here. If it was that way in other parts of the world, then I respect their decision not to do that. But in any case, it is still the right, Judge Napolitano even said it in that sense, it is still the right of that church in New York City. They have the same rights that the church has in Iowa. They have a right to assemble. You and I have a right to be dumb. We do. Yep. We have a right to be that way, right? We have a right to be foolish. You actually do. So, well, but you'll infect all of society. Well, all of society's infected, because the only way to truly not infect society is have 100% of everyone home. You ain't doing that, are you? Or 100% exposed, right? You're not doing that, though, are you? And by the way, I wonder how constitutional it is to say, well, this is essential and that is not essential. This is essential and that is... Wait, so you get to pick and choose winners? I wonder if anybody's going to challenge that. I think you should. There's a hint for you. Try that. Right? It is. It is essential because that's the definition of the church. That's what a church is, ecclesia. It means a called out assembly. That's what it is. And if we do not, then we are not fulfilling our purpose to exist. A church is that called out assembly. We do not assemble online, and we assemble in person, all together in one place, to eat the Lord's Supper or whatever, or to break bread, or to hear the preaching and teaching of God's word, to worship. Amen? Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. What is that? He's talking to the church. This is what you were called to do. He's speaking to the assembly of the church. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is, this is what the church does. We assemble. We cease to be a church if we don't assemble. Now, I know, again, there can be sickness, there can be bad things that happen that would keep us from being able to assemble. But this is by choice, by sound reasoning. Not because so-and-so, sister's cousin, uncle, twice removed, caught it and died. Who is 87 years old, which is the average median age in Minnesota. And I'm not happy about those people dying. I'm sad about that. I feel bad for all of them. I don't like it. And I understand if you're older and you stay away. I understand if you stay home. And I understand if others stay home. And I get the vulnerable people staying home. I get that. But you can't run a society by everybody staying home. That doesn't work. And I'm telling you, the fear-mongering that's going on with this is teaching people, well, you're all going to die. That's what it's teaching you. I wanted to do a video about that yesterday and call it, you're all going to die. Because that's literally what they're doing to everybody. You're all going to die. It's like when you're preaching out there, they walk up to us and they go, when we're preaching, you're all going to die. And I'm just like, goofy kids, but it's true. That's the mentality of this, that you're scared. You know what'll kill you? Fear. It'll make you sicker. Fear makes you sicker. If you fear this like that, you'll get sicker. You'll depress your immunity down so bad because your heart affects your health. Remember that sermon? Kind of mean, but anyway, it worked good at the time. Kind of a rough sermon, I preach. Remember that? Your heart affects your health. I'm a little bit nicer now, but anyway. A little bit. Scott, I don't know if you believe that or not. Anyway, all right. By the way, I'm going to finish with this here. Moreover, it is essential because the text says so much the more as you see the day approaching. That great day of the Lord, that day when the world is cast into darkness and utter tribulation, that day when Antichrist will come on the scene and think to change times and laws, when he will come to the scene and wreak havoc, and when he will persecute the churches, he will rule and reign on this earth. So much the more in the times when the nations is plunged into sickness or fear or death or any other malignity, should the churches assemble together and pray and seek God's face and fast and pray and seek the Lord's face and seek God to heal their land? I think, honestly, when I see Joel Osteen and everybody else getting richer off all this stuff and getting bigger and getting more popular and everything else, it's downright sad. Should we now, as a church, go into hiding and not assemble together because of fear of reproach of the enemy? Well, people won't like our decision. I got news for you. People never like our decisions. They don't like that book right there. If you believe that book, they don't like you. They hate you. Oh, come on, preacher. That was in Bible times. Right? But they don't hate you now like that. Everybody loves you. Everybody loves Jesus in America. Right? They love him. What's that? And God loves everybody. Right? That's what they say to you. I like what Nehemiah said. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. He said, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sambalay had hired him. Do we hide our light now? Do we hide it now? Is this the time for us to do that? To just wait for the governor to say it's okay to meet? What if that's like July or August? Are you willing to do that? Okay, well, I'll just wait until 4 months from now. After all, the king hath granted thee the decree that you could go online and do your services. Because the king hath told you you could do that. Just, and you can, did you know you can go out to the park too? But do not shoot the king's deer. For Sheriff Nottingham will come and find you. One of the sons of, I forget their sons, but they took a javelin. And are you talking about when he took the javelin and threw it through? Well, that was a cool one. Okay, not that one. Okay, sorry. Oh, Aaron stood between the living and the dead, right. Yep, that's right. No, that's right. Yeah, that was in, yep. Was stayed. Right. You would think you would. You know, and I understand, again, we're not ignoring the fact that if people are sick, they shouldn't be amongst us. Well, you'll never know who's sick. Well, guess what, friend? You're never going to know who's sick. People carry around sickness all the time. You carry the flu around you. Some of you have given the flu to other people. Some of you could have gave the coronavirus to other people. Again, like they're saying that 70-80% have antibodies already in their system. So if I was sitting in Detroit, Michigan right now, where it's spread like wildfire everywhere, like thousands upon thousands of cases a day, and people are just, and it's shut, and everything's shut down there. Like, I don't even know if you can go to the bathroom or not. I think people are still holding it. But I'm not sure if they're allowed to go potty. I don't know. I think she put them in timeout, stuck them in there, and said, and if you're caught riding in a car with somebody else, they're going to stop you. And somebody needs to depose that Jezebel. That's what they need to do. She is an absolute Jezebel. That's absolutely what she is. She is an absolute Jezebel. Yeah. By the way, I drove past Lakeville Liquors and I seen a full parking lot. I just want you to know that I drove past Lakeville Liquors and I saw a full parking lot. What does that mean? Well, that means the liquor stores are open and everybody can run in there, but you're going to keep the church house closed. Well, look, you bunch of drunks. I'm going to tell you something right now. We ain't going to. What we're going to do is go preach outside that liquor store with all the people going in there. That's the place to preach outside of. That's the place to preach to out there. That's where the crowds are. But you don't like that. We're going to shut you down for that. But you can go get an abortion, but you can't get a lump removed from your breast. Right? There's people can't get knee surgeries. There's people that have hernias that are stinking, strapping themselves in, holding their flesh in because they can't go to the hospital and get a hernia surgery. Do you understand that? How diabolically stupid that is? How somebody needs to say, y'all got fooled by a bunch of witch doctors. You know, there's a reason, yeah, you got trumped by witch doctors. Well, we're going to trust the scientists. Well, you better trust Jesus. That's what you better trust. You'd be in a lot of trouble if you don't. Now, again, I understand certain areas. I get it. But this ain't that area. It's not. And whatever they try to make up that it is, it's not. And he knows it. And by the way, I'm not the only one barking. There's senators out there, state senators that are barking out there. The House Republicans are putting together bills to say, we need to end this. This has got to end now. That senator that's a doctor, by the way, that said he's got a patient that can't have a lump removed from her breast because of COVID-19. He said COVID-19 has cast a spell on everyone. And he said he finished and he goes, 225,000 people died of the flu and we didn't shut the country down for it. You're starting to see it? But it takes men that will stand up. It takes men that will say what's right. That's right. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word of truth. And Lord, we want to stick by your word. We want to obey you. We want to follow you. We want to respect your word and your authority. And Lord, I just pray that you be with your church. Protect us, protect our health, protect our people. And Lord, protect our minds and our hearts. And Lord, let us honor and glorify you with all we do. May we live peaceably among all men. May we be obedient to the faith. May we be obedient to those that are in authority over us. But may we never put them above you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.